What's up, guys? And welcome to a new season of the Leader Set Trends podcast. I know it's been a while. It's been a while since we spoke. It's been a while since I've talked to you guys. It's been a lot going on, but trust me, the time away was needed. It was important. I had to do it for me. And now I'm super excited to come back with what I call the graduation season. Yes. For some of you all that have been following me, I was in the midst of a master's degree in organizational development and leadership. And it's done. Amen. Amen. Super excited. And wow, what an experience. I learned so much. I grew so much. And that's one of the reasons why I ended up pivoting and taking some time away, because the reality is that I recognized that I was wearing a lot of hats and I had to put a hat down, or I had to reprioritize one of those hats. And you know what? I'm gonna put that hat over there and I'm gonna wear it later, because it became overwhelming trying to juggle so much and putting the pressure on myself to perform or to show up for everything and everyone. And the reality is, as we're talking about Leader Set Trends and with the space of companies, organizations, team members, your employees, contractors, whomever supporting that mission and vision within that team, that organization, that section, you know, whatever it is within that entity, that organization or company, we have been focused so much about employee well-being. And the reason that is, and I, you know, mentioned that before, even with, you know, the season prior, is this whole conversation about well-being, mental health, resiliency, really understanding that those that work with those within those organizations want to know that the organization cares, the leader cares, the CEO cares. That's important to them. And they're really starting to look at, you know, there was a time in a season where, hey, it was about the check. Again, you have to think about whenever I do generational training in regards to diversity, equity, and inclusion, I talk about the shape of the environment and the upbringing of different generations and why they show up in the world that they do. And you have to realize we did have generations that were in survival mode because of a lack of opportunity, because of the current events that was happening at that time. I mean, just think about following the world wars, right? And think about the transition from that and how that affected the household, how that affected who worked and who didn't work, how that affected how people show up in the world. Because again, if you've been through something so tragic, if you've been through something where maybe the primary breadwinner is no longer there, if you've been through something that devastated the country, where now it leads to recessions or financial issues and what's all and so on, you are going into employment and going to a position like solely focused on grinding and getting what's needed for your family. Yes, maybe the boss isn't that great. Yes, maybe it's not necessarily the healthy environments in some cases. However, it's not about that. It's about survival mode. And we are now living with a generation that sees opportunity. You know, you have entrepreneurship, you can blow up on social media. There's so many different things that people have been exposed to now, that the idea of survival mode, not saying that not everyone has that mentality, because again, we're still working in a dynamic place where there are a multitude of different individuals with different perspectives and backgrounds, and also that have a different mindset about that. But we do have, you know, groups that just have a little bit more flexibility in how they see the world. And we still have to remember that COVID-19 and that shutdown season did make a lot of people analyze what they wanted. You know, being at home and being able to telework was an amazing experience for a lot of people. So they pursued opportunities where they can stay in those situations. And they might have walked away from organizations that didn't follow through with that. And that's okay. You know, I believe that everyone has a choice, and, you know, and you want to make the best decision for your situation, your family, and so on. But when we talk about well-being, as I go on my rant about it, you know, I really wanted to make sure, even for me, I had to do some inner work and some checks and balances within myself and ask myself, Aisha, why are you doing so much, girl? Why are you doing so much? Like, why are these so many things that you're doing, trying to juggle school? You have your business on the side. You have your organization that you support, your military organization. You have your team. You have all these different things that you do. And, you know, although podcasting is extremely important and I love it, I had to ask myself and take myself back and said, okay, how can I do it differently this time where I can still serve you all, right? With some good content, information, but also make sure there's balance where I still have time for my family. I still have time, you know, to go and have fun so I can still have time to do all these different things and I'm not overwhelmed. So these are things that as leaders, we have to do that check-in. Remember I said every week, try to do that assessment. Every day, try to do that. You know, I'm in this amazing program because again, I believe that a leader needs constant development. And I finally found that place that I wanted to invest my funds in that could develop me. And every day I get to go through this amazing book that where I check in, and I check in the morning and in the evening. So although I was doing this process already, it's expanded my thinking. You know, there's layers of gratitude, affirmations, and so many different things that's on there that are so beautiful, right? That are helping me on this journey that a lot of leaders aren't doing, not that check-in, not those moments of, hey, am I doing too much? What do I need to put down? What do I need to put on the shelf, right? Just put it on the shelf temporarily and say, you know what? Let me take a break, put this to the side. This isn't the season for this. This is a season for me to reflect, plan, and shift, and then move forward with what I, you know, what this plan is. And for this podcast, I decided, you know what, I'm going to shift it and do seasons, right? Why am I going to do seasons? Well, you can get, you know, a good 8 to 10 episodes of nuggets, interviews, content, information that's going to help you prepare or develop you even more as a leader, right? Intrinsically on out. But this is going to allow me to have that flexibility to go, you know, take a break. Right? Restructure, think about it versus, you know, doing the week to week thing. And again, that's what works for me. I might decide that I want to do that, but another leader might decide they want to do something else. So please know that it's not a one size fits all type of situation. It should never be one size fits all. Too many of us are comparing ourselves to others. Too many of us think that we need to do it like other people instead of taking inventory and assessing what's going on in your life and your situation and what works best for you. What do you need to put down? What do you need to restructure? What do you need to change, leaders, to help you? Who do you need to maybe hire? Who do you need to start tapping in and saying, you know what, I need you to step in and learn this new process or this procedure. And now you are developing them and also taking the weight off of you. What do you need to do? Where did this mindset come from? And I would say that was the first thing that I had to assess, where this mindset came from. You know, I've been in a lot of webinars and different things because again, leaders must constantly develop. But what there were things that they said you should ask yourself when you agree to do things. There are things that they ask you to do when you are agreeing to do things, right? These are some questions that you really need to ask yourself when you make this, you know, when you're like, okay, I need to add more to my plate, or man, I'm overwhelmed, but I don't feel like I can't stop doing this. So some of the things you want to ask yourself is, before I do this, right, is it because I'm trying to prove, protect, hide, or defend? Again, before I do this, is it because I'm trying to prove? What you trying to prove? What are you trying to prove, and to who and why? You know what? I don't want them to think that I'm lazy, or I don't want them to assume. So you find yourself picking up so many different things, not putting that hat down because you're trying to prove something to someone else. It's not needed. You're going to burn yourself out. The next area is, what are you trying to protect? What are you trying to protect? You might feel like, okay, if I keep hold of all these things, is going to help me, or is going to protect this, is going to protect that. But is it really protecting what you think it is? Especially if it means burning yourself out. You're not even protecting yourself. And although this isn't something you're doing intentionally, you're not. You're not protecting yourself. What are you trying to hide? sometimes we take on things because we're hiding or trying to hide, you know, those things that we think that's going to make us look weak or less than. Maybe it's things that we're navigating intrinsically, internally, that we're like, we're trying to hide something behind doing all these things. So there's a facade and there's a mask and there's things you put in front because you want yourself to look like something. But in reality, your vulnerability means something to your team members. You being authentic means something. You deciding, no, I'm going to put that down. I'm going to take this mask off. And I need to start working on why I have this mask on. But what are you trying to hide? Or what are you trying to defend? You know, it kind of ties into back to like trying to prove something. Are you trying to prove something when you decide to pick up all these hats? What is it? Right? Am I trying to prove I'm a good leader? Right? Am I trying to protect, you know, because I think my team members won't care anymore. My leadership will look at me in a certain way, or I want them to still like me or whatever it is. Am I trying to hide judgment? Self-awareness and really practicing the why behind you do things is so powerful, because now you can start to focus in on affirmations or focus in on, hey, if you're in coaching, counseling, therapy now, oh, I had this revelation last week and I recognize the reason why I can't put these things down is because I'm trying to prove X, Y, and Z, or I'm trying to protect X, Y, Z. I'm trying to hide X, Y, Z, or I'm trying to defend X, Y, Z. So leaders, ask yourself, what are you trying to prove? I was living more in the prove thing. I'm going to prove this. I'm going to prove that, right? And to me, it was like, no point. It got to a point where it's no point because I'm going to burn myself out. And how can I serve the needs of leaders, organizations, and individuals who need this support if I am burnt out? Because I was burnt out, ladies and gentlemen, and it wasn't worth it. I had to focus on and put my energy on, because again, when you have to consider that's energy that you're dispelling or you're putting out. So if my energy is just like going 1,000 ways, right? I'm like, I'm at capacity. I'm over capacity. I'm not going to have any energy. And how much am I truly giving that thing that needs my full attention at that time? And what I didn't want to do, okay, was fill classes because I want to wear so many. I really wanted to focus in on my education and what I was there to do, because that information I was putting in me is here to bless y'all. Amen. Okay. So really ask yourself, and it might require you to put boundaries, because again, we have to think about the culture we're around. So as you're trying to, or as you're assessing what you're trying to prove, protect, hide, to defend, and working through that, think about the culture you're around and those that you're having conversations with, because the reality is there are some cultures that will, or and within the cultures are individuals that will be like, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. What do you mean you're going to stop doing those? If you stop doing that, my goodness. I mean, me taking that big break, I'm pretty sure it had an effect, right? And that's okay. I'm going to bounce right back because I have more to pour out now. I'm going to bounce back. All right. That's what it's about. I'm bouncing back. Okay. But that's what we have to recognize, right? We have to recognize those things. It's so important. So what culture are you around? Who are you having conversations with? Because sometimes the culture will have you in the cycle of proving, protecting, hiding, or defending. You might be getting triggered. And that's why it's so important that you're getting the development you need in the midst of all this. In the midst of all this. So pause and reflect on that real quick. Did you write down those questions? Maybe something already popped out to you. Write that down as you listen to this episode. Write it down. Because the best decision that I did, me sitting around doing nothing. Ugh, amen. Before, it used to make me like, oh, something's off. I, you know, the conversations and the inner critic within me would say so many different things, but I had to reframe that. I want to talk a little bit more about reframing in some episodes to come. I had some interviews that I did with individuals way before that I didn't put out that I'm going to put out now. But again, I had to. For me, so I can show up being the best person possible, so I can pour into you that's listening today. Mm-hmm. So I want to introduce you guys to a new segment that I'm adding, Leadership in the News. Shout out to my squad. You know, we got Tyrus and Corey. We used to do a whole series about leadership in the news before we kicked it off. But I think this is something important because I want to make like some relevancy to leadership examples that's happening on the outside that we can reflect on. So this was something that I posted recently that I made me just start really reflecting on some of the things that leaders, you know, successful leaders are navigating currently. And I want you to really like consider it and reflect on this. And, you know, for those that are listening to me audibly, make sure you check out that video version of this so you can see what I'm sharing right now. But this is from my Instagram page and I read a story about Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk, okay, he doesn't really care about working from home. And I'm sure there's so many layers to that story, right? Because again, you have to consider perspective, right? There were some aspects of it where it's like, listen, if we're going to make it and maintain a level of success, I need to see y'all. I need you guys to be working. And I need to, there's some leaders who feel that way. It's about seeing, touching, you need to be there. There might be one or two, three, four, five people out of the who knows how many people that are slacking. I mean, truly like not being effective while they're working from home, even though studies have shown a difference, right? But he's not feeling that, right? So I posted, I said, leaders, how do you really feel about working from home, right? Are you on team work in the office? Or are you on team, you know, are you team work from home? Or are you on team hybrid? You know, we can do a little bit of both. A couple of days here, a little sprinkle here. There has been a tug and pull about the idea of working from home and if it results to a lack of true work. I've worked with companies who I've had to go in and discuss empathetic leadership, discuss the benefits of working from home and just really expand their perspective on it's more than just working from home. There's a wellness aspect to it. There's a benefit to it. So it's more than that. It's so much more. So there are some studies that Owl Labs did. And, you know, I wanted to highlight some of these points. So individuals saved $500 per month, $6,000 per year during COVID-19. And think about those gas prices right now, ladies and gentlemen, they're a little high, right? So if we can save a little bit of money and we can support our team members doing that, that makes a difference. Even if it's a couple of days a week, not having to drive back and forth to work, man. Now they don't have to fill up every week. Remote employees save an average of 40 minutes daily from commuting, right? So if we add to that, and again, that's money back in their pocket that can go towards other areas that they need it. 59% of the respondents said that they would be more likely to choose an employer who offered remote work compared to those who didn't, because now this is becoming a hiring tool. This is something that's attracting outside talent, seeing that, oh man, I get to work remotely too. So you see, again, I mentioned earlier, you have team members that are gravitating towards that. And that's okay if they do, right? It's okay if they do. Remote employees also worked over 40 hours a week, 43% more compared to workers that never worked remotely. And I can attest to that. It just seems like since you have everything at home, you might have the tendencies to do a little bit more. Hey, I have more emails to do. I don't have no one calling me. Now I can focus in. And I've done that. I've had my boss like, Sergeant Thomas, why did we get this email at midnight? And for them, they're like, man, you work in, and it's like, you know, I might've had, you know, dinner, you know, I might've worked up to six, or I might've, you know, taken a break. And, you know, I had a period where I was going to sleep late. I'm still working on it. And I just had the urge to like knock out some work. So I'm sitting here watching, got the TV on. It's really like just music in the background or, you know, just there behind the scenes. But I took that time and I'm like, you know, knocking out emails. And I knew when I hit send and they were all some of them emails, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna hear about this. But, you know, there are a lot more people that are doing more work because there's a little bit more flexibility. Some aren't. They might still clock out at five or whatever time their end time is or clock in at whatever time, but there are a lot of people who are doing more, right? So productivity is up. Global Workplace Analytics estimates that employers can save up to $11,000 per year per employee due to remote work. So think about it. Think about, you know, if you have a brick and mortar, maybe you're paying monthly, whatever it is, just think about how much you're saving in resources, you know, that bill that you get every month because you have less bodies in there, that can go a long way. And there's been even organizations that shifted from having an office building because remote just makes more sense, right? Or maybe they did have somewhere they were renting monthly and they decided to go elsewhere that, oh, okay, we're only going in X amount of times a month. Let's shift and we don't even have to lease this place, right? We can rent or we can do something else that it makes more sense versus just having this place that no one is barely in. Apollo Technical made this awesome statement, which again encapsulate a lot of the perspective that I have on this. Remote workers are more productive because they have no commute, less or no office small talk, which is cool, but sometimes it's distracting. You know, you're at your desk and so-and-so's coming up. It can be a bit distracting. And so sometimes the benefit at times with remote work is that you can just dial in and focus. You don't have as many distractions happening around you, you know, but also the benefit too is being in the office, you get to bond and connect with those team members because, again, that hybrid model does allow you to still go in and connect with your team members, which is important for leaders, right? But outside of that, let's still schedule those phone calls. They'll still, you know, I have a whole leader that will FaceTime. Initially, I was just like, okay, what you doing? FaceTime me. You know me, I like announcements, like text me and let me know I'm going to FaceTime you unless we build that rapport. So to me, it was like, you know, there was no warning. It was just like, oh, I'm being FaceTime. Should I answer this? But it's my boss. Let me answer it. But it was all good. Fewer distractions, more time with family, exercise, a higher quality of life and a better overall work-life balance. Because I'm closer, you know, if there's an emergency, I can drive right up the street and grab my children at school. It has so many benefits. And in the season where employee wellness is a big conversation, are there some tweaks and adjustments you can make? Elon Musk was like, forget that. I don't even think about that, right? Right? So ask yourself, leaders, why do you dislike the hybrid or remote option? Why do you, if you're sitting in that space, right? So to talk a little bit more about what Elon Musk said, he said, although authenticity has not been verified, because we don't know for sure, you know, this was like an email posted on Twitter and stuff, but it said some pieces like this: anyone who wishes to do remote work must be in the office for a minimum. And I mean, a minimum, I mean, a 40 hours per week or depart Tesla, get up out of here. Oof, that will make me, you know, that would draw my attention. Okay, you got to do those 40 hours a week, which again, if that's the standard that the leader set, that's their organization and that's what they said, those leaders can set that standard. And you have a choice if you decide if you want to participate or to go elsewhere. But that's just the reality of those things. And hopefully, you know, as leaders, we have open dialogue and we're allowing those that support our mission and vision to be able to express why they see the benefits of telework. Or if there's clarity that's needed, because maybe the assumption is that people aren't working 40 hours a week. I'm just saying. All right, because one bad apple, they say, spoils the bunch. But does it have to? Can you just take it out on time? Because the reality is, if we're checking our produce on a regular basis, we will see like, you know what, this apple right here is rotting and I need to take it out and throw it out, right? Not saying throw out anybody, please, leaders, do not take it as that. But you know what I mean? But you notice, okay, something, okay, let me address it. Let me find out what's going on. But if it stays in there, what are we not paying attention to also? Food for thought. All right. So Musk responded to the comments. So someone posted this, you know, like, okay, what's up? You know, started this whole debate on Twitter. He said they should pretend to work somewhere else. Right. In May, he tweeted, all the COVID stay at home stuff has tricked people into thinking that you don't actually need to work hard. So he has a strong perspective on this, you know, and again, as leaders, when we do have strong perspectives, what's the facts behind it? What have we done to ensure that that's truly what's going on? And who knows, maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. So are you a leader that holds work from home bias? Why? What evidence do you have that has verified the lack of productivity? Are you considering the balance of what worked in the past and what could be utilized in the future? As forward thinkers, as leaders, and we're again, no one thought that we could make it through a shutdown. There are companies that were not set up for shutdown, virtual situations to be able to video conference or anything, but they were able to make it happen. Can you? 100%. And there are a lot of companies who did, and some organizations, companies weren't able to make the adjustment. We all know that the, you know, service industry was hit hard, but there were a lot of companies that have still have the same type of things that they inherited from COVID, like curbside to go. If I want to get something from my favorite restaurant, a lot of them didn't have curbside to go, and someone will come out and bring your food for you. Order a pizza. They'll drop it off right at your door so you don't have that interaction. Those were a lot of things that were embedded during the pandemic, that shutdown, right? To minimize contact, to minimize you potentially possibly contracting or, you know, also getting hit with the COVID, right? The COVID. So think about that. What are things that you can still usher in that's going to benefit you? But are you open? That's where inclusion lies. Are you open for that feedback? Who are in these rooms when those decisions are being made? It does work, right? I talked about how a reduced commute reduces brick and mortar expenses, decreased distractions, closer access to family, supports workplace wellness initiatives. So make the adjustments. And of course, if you have a human resources, connect with them. If you're a business owner and you don't have HR, there are so many consultants and individuals out there that will support you as you navigate those decisions, right? So I want to know, what are your thoughts about working from home? How is it working? Do you agree with Elon, right? Leave me a comment, shoot me a message. But I would love to hear your perspective because it does work. It does work. And I know you guys heard me mention a lot about helping with supporting organizations. And if you want to get some additional assistance as well, just go to my website, aishathomas.org, you know, sign up for a free consultation or inquiry, and we can discuss your needs so I can support you in how to navigate whatever season you're currently in. Because this conversation has a bit of diversity, equity, inclusion. You know, we have a bit of, and maybe some generational perspectives, because back in my day, we didn't work remote, right? But we're entering into a new day. And what are the things can we add and find from the perspective of other generations and leaders from different tiers and age groups and so on? Also, if you're trying to assist other leaders with communicating or connecting, especially now that we're living in a space where team members want to know you care, right? So do you agree? Why? Let me know. Because it's important that you think about these things, because it might come up. It might not come up now, but it might come up later. It really might come up later. So what should you expect with this new podcast? Again, it's going to be season. This is a graduation season. So I'm going to walk you through some of the things that I think is so important that I learned on this journey of, you know, that MSODL, you know, add that to my name, MSODL, but there's so many pieces about organizational development that some organizations are missing. Some companies are missing. Maybe you're building things from the ground up. Maybe you're in the midst because you're, you know, a human resource and you're like, okay, how does it, what's in it for me? What's the WIFM, right? What's the ROI? And first, let me define what organization development is. It helps people in organizations plan how to deal with changes in their environment, because changes are constantly happening, right? So yes, it helps you with that. And it has so many tiers to it. It's something that is a long range perspective. So development also requires like long range, and change again is always happening. So maybe there's some change needed or some updates needed in how you manage the human resources that are there supporting your mission and vision, the policies you're developing. Maybe you run into some type of issue that you never expected to, and it's not really an issue. It's just an unfamiliar problem that you need someone to come in and support you. And that's why you'll hire someone like me to come help you, or a team of people, right? It's best supported when it's supported by senior leadership, right? And OD affects change primarily, although not exclusively, through education. Sometimes it's learning. It's the education piece, learning about something, understanding it, getting a different perspective. And now because you know that, now you're like, okay, I'm more open to it. Because again, depending on how the culture is and depending on where you're getting information from, it might affect how you make your decisions. And we want to make sure that as leaders, we're making effective decisions. And in order for you to do that, education is needed. Different perspectives are needed, especially from those experts that can speak to it. So we're going to walk along this journey, introduce you to those classes I took and what I took away from it and how you could apply that and how you lead, manage, or support the organizations that you are a CEO in, right? Or maybe if you're forecasting, you know what, I want to get there. Okay, this is going to help you through that process. All right. So don't forget to comment, let me know how you feel about the teleworking. And also do that reflection piece where we talked about the importance of identifying why you wear so many hats and really identify where that came from. And then once you can find out the root cause, now you can go towards developing in that area. Make sure you do that as well. All right. So I'm so happy to be back. I'm so happy to reconnect with you all. I'm so happy to be able to bless you all with those interviews that I had, because I had it with some amazing people that you have to hear from. So you can also hear about the psychology of leadership. And as always, right? Individuals quit the organization, they quit the leader. And that's why you need leadership development. All right. So make sure you reach out to me, like, share, subscribe, leave me a comment, hit me up on aishathomas.org or on all social media platforms at Miss Aisha Thomas. You all go out and be great.